public comment.
Somebody saying their name? Is that Sue?
Yes, it is.
Somebody? Oh, go ahead. Speak.
I just said good to appreciate
good.
What you...
I thought you said Sue.
Yeah, well...
I thought you said good. Okay. Okay, so no change to number 8, then? There's no change? Or you... Shall we put the word guild? Maybe not now.
I think it's fine the way it is myself, and union versus guild is the proper word is union. That's my opinion. Nancy, are you back on? I was hoping you could just read what you wrote for number 7 in terms.
Oh, okay, that's easier. I'm trying to send it. Okay, let me. Okay, I have some green balls around anything that we changed. Number 7, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via survey, email, snail mail, and the committee shall report to the membership the results of the listener input through the monthly LSB report show, and the report shall be posted on the station website with precautions for privacy and be sent to the programmers. Kind of leggy wording, but it got everything we said, right? Did I leave anything out?
One more time, please.
Okay, I'm going to send it, Dale, just a minute, right now. I hope I got everybody. I don't. Maria's on the line, right? Maria, I'm going to send it to her, too. I have it. There it is. Excuse me? Who said something?
No, I said yes. I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to send it to you, too, what I changed. Okay. Let's see. Who else is on this? Steve. Okay, here it goes. It just went out. And that's number 7. And, 7. So 8 stays the same. Is that right, Rob? Thomas?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Number 8 the same. Okay. Number 9. How programs are moved, extended, lengthened, and/or removed. Okay. See, this committee is gathering all this important information. You know, listener input, and then they report out, and then how programs are grieved, and now number 9, how are they moved, extended, lengthened? Well, we didn't put shortened. Yeah, some shows have been shortened. Maybe we should add that, and/or removed. All this information is real important information, but I guess what the committee can do is make recommendations to the LSB. And if the LSB doesn't agree with them, they can send a minority report to the PMB. They need to get the problems well documented and with, you know, facts and evidence and sent, worked upon, done something done with it. Maybe we'll come up with a better idea later. We can amend this after we get it passed. Okay. All right. Number 9, how programs are moved, extended, lengthened. Can I say shortened? Shortened.
Why not?
Or removed. And or removed. Because, yeah, we have shows from 1 hour went to 30 minutes. Okay. Number 10, how the organizing and supporting of integration of interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools as well as to the general public. Okay. How the organizing and supporting of the integration of interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools as well as to the general public. How is the status? How is the organizing and supporting of the, the integration of interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools as well as to the general public. Okay? Funny sentence, but at least they've got the main meaning. Does anybody want to add to that? Or subtract?
You're on 10, right?
Yeah, 10, yes.
Can you read what you got organized now?
Yeah, it's a wordy sentence. It's like this committee, the local programming committee, is supposed to check on how the status of organizing and supporting the integration of interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools as well as to the general public. How is the management doing this? And make sure that is being overseen or checked on.
A member of the public with a question.
Go ahead, public.
So where was it mandated that they had to reach out to schools?
No, it wasn't.
So then why
that's
is...
Kind of
Let me ask my question. So if there was no mandate that they reach out to schools, why are we asking management to report or asking that there be a report on what happens when they reach out to schools?
I don't think we're asking management to make a report, but, I mean, that would probably be a matter of fact. They would have to do that for us to be – for the committee to be able to check on how – the status is of organizing and supporting and reaching out to schools. Reaching out to schools is something... Yeah.
Maybe I'm not being clear. Let me try again. If there was no mandate that they reach out to schools, how would we be checking on the status of something that they weren't told they needed to do?
Well, there's a lot of things we have put in here that are needed, that are not mandated. Like surveys are not mandated, are they? Maybe CPB has something about surveys and flyers and promotion. But I am not sure, but I think CPB does say something about reaching out to schools. I'm just not sure. I think I read some. It changed this year. Y'all take a look at it, the 2021 CPB rules. It says you have to train anyone in the staff to about harassment or something like that, sexual harassment, and we're not sure if it includes interns. Go ahead, Thomas.
I think number 10 could be cut at after the word volunteers.
Okay.
Because it was simply recognized that the PC and the LSB, you know, recognize that interns and volunteers are used when possible, and that they encourage that we're there to help organize and to support the integration of these into station life. We don't need to mandate how these internship I mean, that would require more research, and there have been, you know, we all have history of using interns, you know, and getting them from various places, colleges, high schools, or, you know, sort of, as Franklin has talked about it, you know, in Berkeley's kind of an apprentice program. So we don't need to stipulate. We just need to recognize that or state that we're interested in assisting this part of the station, you know, activities. That's my recommendation, that we cut the entire, including reaching out to schools as well as to the general public, as being unnecessary because we're not at this point defining the intern program, but we are encouraging one to be created or recreated and could help with that when and if it they get around to doing it.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing, you know, that I've heard in D.C. is the intern programs, you know, require someone, a full-time person, to sort of manage it. And if the program committee wants to, you know, provide a volunteer to do that, that would assist a program director in, you know, greatly, I would think. But we don't need to spell it out here.
Okay, so number 10, when it says reaching out to school, it does not mean that the programming committee will do that. It means you're observing, checking, if the manager or program director are reaching out to schools or not. So that is not necessary, that the program director and the general manager reach out to schools? Is that what the committee thinks, that it's not necessary? I thought it should be necessary. Comment, please.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
When it comes to motions, you want to put in essential pieces that you think, well, put in pieces that you think are essential. But generally speaking, less is more. The more you give them, the more they will want to chop and amend, because people will not look at it as, or not enough people look at it as, an overall policy that, you know, can be customized for the local situation, the local staffing situation, the amount of activity you have on an LSB, et cetera. Most people will look at it and say, well, considering my majority status or my minority status, is this something I want? And, you know, that's unfortunate, but that has been the way too many people operate. So go in with what is absolutely necessary for the group you're trying to create, what is absolutely necessary for them to function, but don't just load on stuff because you think it's a good idea. A lot of these, when it comes down to how your local board implements it, you can, you know, share a bunch of different ideas about how to approach it. But putting all of that into a national policy, when the stations are actually quite different from each other, I think is a recipe for not getting it through. Thomas has the joy of being on the PNB right now. He might have an opinion on that, but that's been my experience.
Okay. I have taken about the school, reaching out to schools, but I really think we should be doing it some way, somehow, even though it's not in this motion. Okay. And number 11, how to support the visual and audio programming from the entire of the Pacifica Network for a radio blind audience with captions, translations in several languages to include the deaf and the hard of hearing audience and the international audience. This is number 11. Oh, and what does it say? And the organized volunteer translation teams. Comment? Input? Oh, you know what? I think we should take out to support to say how the visual and audio programming from the entire network is... how the visual and audio programming from the entire network is I want to put multimedia somewhere in here. How the push for multimedia is coming along, you know, that's what the main thing. Anybody have a comment here? Is this too much? We talked about this last time, about captions in foreign languages on the online visual. And then putting in, when there's audio, matching it with video clips, something you see on Democracy Now! And other television news. I don't know what the word is for it, but how the visual and audio program. Anyway, opinions, please.
Well, technical question. This is Thomas. How does a deaf person access audio radio? It seems to me the only way is to be able to read transcripts that are produced somehow in, you know, either real time or simultaneously, or you know, soon after the program is aired. Yes.
On television, there's a button for captions for the hard of hearing. My neighbor in the middle of the block, she became deaf. She wasn't born that way, and she's told me radio has no meaning for her, that she's watching television with the captions on the bottom instantaneously. Anyway, that's what she was saying to me. And
isn't it for the future?
Well, we got to get into it now. Otherwise, at least start. We have
yes.
At Occupy Houston, I saw three young, like in their early 20s, and they were all deaf. And they were busy clicking on their laptops, and they were communicating with other people at Houston Occupy who could hear. But they were all communicating with each other on their laptops by reading their thoughts. And I was surprised, and I asked one of the persons, I said, what are they talking about? What is going on? And she said, you know, they're very, very much aware of many things. They're not in the dark at all because they're reading any source of captions. Anyway, I don't know why I threw that story in. Anyway, but can you imagine we would get a new audience, the hard of hearing, and we could get all these foreigners that are coming, that with grandpa and grandma who cannot speak English, and then all these students all over the world are studying English. If they're foreign language students anywhere in the world, they have to study English, even if they're studying another language as their major. So we would have lots of new audience. I'm even thinking about the archives, you know, have it put into video form and put, you know, translations under it, and then start selling those things or getting donations for them in different countries. I shouldn't talk about that right now. We're on programming. Okay. How to push for visual.
Yes, Nancy, Thomas.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I just say that, you know, a general statement that we support and want to have want to advise on the implementation of multimedia technologies and strategies for Pacifica, and that, you know, and we strongly urge it for, you know, as a way to market to or make our programming available to, you know, communities such as what you've enumerated.
Yes.
That, and so, you know, just a general statement that we are you know, attentive to multimedia programming and want Pacifica to pursue it further, and that these, you know, new markets, these new audiences should would be one reason to do it, but it's also to, you know, to expand you know, variety of potentialities that multimedia, you know, audiovisual does capture and does provide for.
Okay, so in a kind of a general statement.
Right.
How multimedia.
But this is a general statement, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. How the multimedia programming, how the multimedia programming for visual and audio programming and audio programming for a blind radio and or blind audience.
Listener comments?
Or just say, yes, go ahead, whoever that is.
Oh, hi, it's Sheila.
You could use the word accessible. In other words, describe how programming as it moves into multimedia is made accessible.
Okay.
To people with disabilities.
Okay. Or be accessible for
people with disabilities.
Or
Can we say people with different abilities?
I guess so.
Or is that too vague?
You know, there's different interpretations of the word disabled, and one is that I use it is that not that I am disabled, but society disables people. So I think in the disability rights community that I've seen the word disabled, but if you want to use the word differently abled, go ahead. But the key word is accessible, because that's sort of understood to encompass a lot of things, not just the visually people with visual problems or hearing problems, but a person could have be partially paralyzed, for example. There's all kinds of disabilities.
Right here.
Yes, go ahead, Frank.
I'm just agreement. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Are you finished?
Yes, Sheila, are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just in agreement with the different abilities word. It's something we've been trying to use at the apprenticeship program, because people's abilities are basically just different. Like if I smash the tire on my car and break it, it's a disabled car. So it's not a different ability car. So I'm just more in agreement with people with different abilities terminology.
This is Sheila. I don't have any objection.
Well, I didn't think anybody was thinking you had an objection. We just want to make sure you got everything out. Okay. How the multimedia programming for visual and audio be accessible for people with differently
People who are differently abled.
Thomas, to the stat.
Go ahead, Thomas.
How's this sound? How to support multimedia visual and audio programming from the entire Pacifica network in order to make more accessible Pacifica programming to people with, and I wrote, varying abilities and capacities, but you could, whatever.
That's almost the idea. Yeah.
Okay, so we want to make the network and the programming more available to varying audiences. Okay, that's all.
I have to absent
for 5 minutes, so I'm gonna I'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Does everybody remember what Thomas said? How the multimedia for visual and audio programming be. Yeah, remember what he said? Be accessible, did he say? Be accessible for
something along the lines about making all of Pacifica programming more accessible to people who,
differently able or different, what did you say? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
People
with
different abilities and capacities.
I think you said varying.
Oh, varying abilities and capacities? Is that what you're saying, Sheila?
Yes, I think you said varying.
Varying.
V-A-R-Y-I-N-G.
Did he use the word capacity?
Abilities and capacity.
How multimedia for visual and audio programming be accessible for people who have varying abilities
and capacity.
Who have varying abilities. Did he say capacity?
And capacities,
yes.
I think.
Inclusive of the deaf and of foreign tongues?
No, he left it right there after capacity. And I think he's suggesting not make a list.
Okay. And I guess I could just say with my mouth, this would get a new audience of people who cannot speak English, right? If they see, they cannot understand it, but they can read it.
You should stick to the language that he sent and not
say
anything.
Okay. Well, I just thought they might be, the PNB might be happy to get more new audience. I'm pretty sure this should work. Mm. Okay. All right, one more time. How the multimedia for visual and audio programming be accessible for people who have varying abilities and capacities, inclusive of the, did we say, no, we didn't say that.
Just
capacity. That's it. Okay. And then period. Okay. All right.
What happened?
All right. Next is that was 10, wasn't it? No, that was 11. Okay, now we're on 12. How to the organized nurture training? Okay, how the organized and nurture training program is being nurtured and organized with training videos and expertise for visual and audio productions. That's what we want to say.
Listener question.
Go ahead.
Is there any provision in training for anti-racist training? Gender? I don't know how to the language for that.
CPB has ordered that we have a sexual harassment training of all the programmers. I mentioned that earlier. Now, anything else like race conflict or we had one workshop last year, the LSV did, that's all, and that was kind of a rare thing.
I'm sorry, my phone blipped when you said, what, oh. CPB ordered what?
Our LSV rarely does any kind of race conflict lecture or workshop. We did one time last year in the summer, July, I think, and that was a very rare thing. The first time in how many years? 11 years or 10 years I've been on the board. Anyway, so, but the CPB, I read, it says that all the programmers have to go through sexual harassment training, I think. That's the closest. We could add in here that we could check also on, what do you call, following the CPB's guidelines on education of programmers. Or you want to make up a motion, Sheila?
I think this is basically like an inquiry to find out the status of all these stations, of policies at all the stations. Is that what's going
Not
on?
Not really. It's at each station. Each station's going to have a committee to check on all these items. We're on number 11, right?
Did we do 11?
Yeah, no, we finished 11. We're on 12 now. So all these points the programming committee of the local station board will be checking on and giving a report to the LSB, I suppose, and recommending changes or whatever.
Well, I would say they should report on whether the programmers have had any anti-racist training.
Okay.
And whether the management has I guess it's the committees of inclusion that are supposed to be doing this, but if they've done any analysis of whether the programming is reflective of the diversity of
that's inclusion. Yeah, inclusion has to say how many shows they have of black programmers or brown programmers or American Indian or white, male or female or that's all in inclusion.
Right. I think there's going to
but
be.
But about.
Frankfurt is that?
Yeah, go ahead, finish, Sheila, and then we'll go to Frank.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a motion about doing a survey of the diversity of the programming. But I don't know if that's going to be in your.
That's already a job of the inclusion. Inclusion is supposed to do that. The Committee of Inclusion is a PNB committee, but it's local at each station, local people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one director, I think two or three LSPs, and then anybody from the public can join if they're voted on by the one director and the two LSPs if they vote. So you can join. Anybody can join those things if you get elected by whoever's there. And they have to just take data, like the census report has been published. They have take data that, and the geographic location of their area, what the ethnicities are, and at the station, the programmers to fill out a survey. You know, are they male? Are they female? Are they different, non-binary? All kind of ways to answer and their heritage. All that is supposed to be done by the Committee of Inclusion. And it really is it's mandated by the bylaws, but not being followed, not being done. And it's not hard work. Where were we? Number 12.
What about Frank here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Frank, go ahead. Yes.
It's okay. I just wanted to mention that we recently had a mandatory training for sexual and racial harassment here at KPFA. It was set out by the management, and it was regarding FCC requirements. It's an FCC requirement to renew our KPFA and KPFB licenses. So it was mandatory for the FCC.
Thank you, Frank. Well, that covers T got their license done, and K, wasn't it K also? Three Ks, or was it? Go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
A question for Frank.
That was basically it for me. It was basically a video that we had to watch, and then we were tested at the end. It had a one-hour time limit, which meant you couldn't, speed through it. You had to be in the
class for an hour, and then it logged your answers, and then you were done. So it was only required for paid staff, so interns and apprentices and other people like that didn't have to do it. I don't even know if they required the unpaid staff to do it or not.
Oh!
Let me see what it says here. It says, the training is only for employees of Pacifica.
Okay, does anybody know the definition of employee? Does it mean it has to come with a salary or it's a volunteer employee?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, public wants a question to Frank. Go ahead, public.
Oh, well, actually,
Frank, please answer.
He answered it in his last comment. I was going to ask him if it was restricted to paid people. And my question to you, Nancy, when you said that you saw CPB language, was that for paid or unpaid?
Well, I think it was for paid because I remember Jim Dingman was saying, now, we don't know if that covers interns or not. We'll have to check. And so I'm sorry. I don't remember. It's a new CPB, 2021 CPB rules. It's a little bit strict in some places, so it's a good read for all of us to check. Okay, back to Sheila's wanting to add diversity training. So, Frank, that was just sexual harassment, it included diversity. Is that right?
I believe so. I have to double check. Maybe I can check it out again. Oh, I'll check while we're talking.
Oh, well, or later, so you don't miss anything. So that was, but that was only paid staff. Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Go ahead. Public. Go ahead.
Is Thomas back?
Thomas, are you back?
Yes.
No.
I have been.
Oh, okay. So earlier on.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, that's cool. Earlier on, you had actually changed the word educated. This was a while back. I don't know. Earlier, maybe 0.7. I don't know. Way up there. So maybe we should reinsert or reassert the word education, because then that would cover the fact that there is formal training needed for unpaid staff. Or for people who are either brand new to the Pacifica community or working community, or people who've been around forever but clearly have not absorbed much of the stuff that goes out on our air with regard to diversity and anti-racism. So maybe y'all want to revisit that word. Just a thought, instead of adding a new thing.
Okay, number 5 said how programmers are trained and supported. So should I add in the word such as in diversity as well as? Okay.
Public comment.
Well, it had educated initially, so I'm wondering if we want to reinsert it there instead of adding it as a new point down on 14 or wherever you want to.
Okay, so public. How programmers are educated, trained? Which word? Are trained?
Both. Trained, educated, and supported.
Educated. So take out trained and supported.
How about?
All right. Okay.
How about oriented?
Okay, just a minute. I think Sheila's next, and then whoever's talking, I think that's Sue, is next. Okay, how programmers, what did you say? How programmers are educated and supported? Somebody want to add to that?
I believe he said educated, trained, and supported.
Oh, okay, thank you. I didn't hear that.
Yes, I did, yes, myself. Okay.
This is Sheila. My suggestion was to use the expression anti-racist training as opposed to diversity training.
Uh-huh.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Do we want to add anti-racist training, including, let's say, how programs are educated, trained, and supported? Do we want to add, such as in anti-racist training? Do we want to add it there or just keep it?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
I heard two voices. Sheila said good idea, and then somebody else said something. Who's that?
Is it my turn? This is Sue.
Oh, go ahead, Sue. Okay, yeah, I think it's your turn.
Unpaid staff, if you say to them orientation or send them some short, like one page of information, they might read it. Otherwise, they say, well, I'm the master of this information. I don't need to read anything from these people. Orientation might be a word they might like better.
Well, after we get this passed, we can amend it with more detail, you know, with other motions, and we can get more of what
okay.
we want. Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Is that what the group is thinking? Or you want to put... Okay, now back to number five. How programmers are educated, trained, and supported. Are we going to put something else in it?
Public comment.
Yeah, go ahead, public.
I think we specifically would want to use examples. I thought you said that earlier. Educated in anti-racist conduct and anti... you know, it's interesting they use sexual harassment, but it's not training in sexual harassment. It's anti-harassment.
Yeah.
Most of those people do not need additional training. They're good at it. But I do want to push back a little on the statement made about unpaid staff. First of all, I don't think you can use such a broad brush to describe 90% of the people who are in the building and working for free. And I don't like the word orientation because orientation suggests something that happens when you're coming in. And this sort of work is stuff that has to be continuous.
Okay, number five, how programmers are educated, trained, as in anti-racist training, and supported.
I think the English is a little off.
Yeah, it is.
how
programmers
are educated, comma, trained, comma, and supported in anti-racism, including anti-racism.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. I will do that.
Thomas, to the Senate.
Yes.
What was the point of going back to five to avoid, what was it, number 12? Is that what you were...
No, to avoid putting another...
Anything like that in 12. What?
To avoid putting another one,
yes.
Another point. Okay. How programmers are educated, trained, and how programmers are educated, trained, and educated, nurtured? Which one
supported.
Do you want? Okay, educated, trained, and supported. Are we going to put nurture in there? I can put it if you want.
No, we don't need to nurture it.
Okay. Supported, such as in anti-racism? Can we say that word?
Including anti-racism.
Oh, yeah, including. That's better. So it's not exclusively. Including anti-racist training. Including anti-racism. How about that?
And sexual harassment. Trust me, we have some departments that have always been male-dominated. What's that about?
Oh, this is good. This gets this thing more brownie points, this motion, the entire motion. Okay, number five, how programmers are educated, trained, and supported, including anti-racism and sexual harassment. Anti-sexual harassment, okay. Well, anti-sexual harassment.
Frank here real quick. I just checked my video, and it was only sexual harassment training.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Okay. All right. While you were gone, Frank, or while you were checking, we redid number five, how programmers are educated, trained, supported, including anti-racism and anti-sexual harassment. Anybody got a...
Great. I've been listening. I was just letting you know.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Public comment?
Go ahead. Whoever you are.
Could you use the word anti-gender bias? Is that a more inclusive term?
I don't know. I'm just writing. So y'all make a judgment here. Anti, what did you say? Anti what? Gender?
Gender bias.
Does that include, you know, the bisexual, non-sexual, et cetera, the non-binary? Does that please those people?
Well, I believe that is inclusive of that. I'm just would ask other people if they think it includes sexual harassment.
I do not.
Anti-gender bias. What did you say?
I do not think that anti-gender bias covers sexual harassment. They're different things. I'm fine with adding it, but they're different things.
Okay. All right. I'll just add it. Okay. How programmers are educated, trained, and supported, including anti-racism, anti-gender bias, and sexual harassment. We get everything? Anything missing?
To make it.
Yes, I'm listening. Make it what? Your voice stopped, Thomas. Oh no, did his phone go out of juice? Thomas? Oh,
no, I guess
Thomas.
I've had it on. I muted.
Oh.
And
okay.
I said on the subjects of or in the fields of, just for grammatical consistency.
Okay, where do you want to put? Including the
supported
subject.
In the fields of or on the subjects of or on the matters of, you know, just the word supported in is wasn't there.
Okay. And supported in the fields of anti-racism, anti-gender bias, and sexual harassment. Which one is worse?
I would suggest the term either areas. Areas of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fields.
That's
like,
yeah. Areas sounds better than fields. Okay. By the way, people, Sheila writes a children's book. So it's good we have a writer there. Okay. And supported in the areas of anti-racism, anti-gender basis, and sexual harassment. Is that grammatically okay?
The word is bias, okay. Not basis. Bias. B-I-A-S.
I have it, yeah, bias. I just didn't pronounce it right. Okay. How programmers are educated, trained, and supported in the areas of anti-racism, anti-gender bias, and sexual harassment. Okay.
I believe it was anti-sexual harassment.
That's right. Thank you. Sexual harassment. Okay. You want me to read again? How programmers are educated, trained, and supported in the areas of anti-racism.
Oh, wait.
And supported. It's not just these things. I mean, the training and education was also technical. Supported in technically, as well as in the areas of, how about that? Thomas?
Well, again, we're sort of wordsmithing now, and this was all to avoid having a clause 12. We could have left this one as a general statement and then gone into specifics on these areas and matters of training that, you know, needed to be generalized. But you can just, in technical areas as well as the areas of technical and production areas, as well as those of anti-sexual harassment, anti-gender
bias. You could
bias.
Use the word, if you're using production, you could also use the word, a parallel word would be technology.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Frank here interrupting, sorry. Just FYI, I only got about 10 more minutes where I got to go.
Okay. How programmers are educated, trained, and supported in technology and in the areas of anti-racism, anti-gender bias, and anti-sexual harassment.
I believe it was technology and production.
Oh, yeah, we need production. And production. Thank you. C-T-I-O-N. Okay, I don't think we are ready to vote on this thing. We have only 10 minutes. And we've gone already almost 2.5 hours. Not yet, but 10 more minutes will be 2.5 hours from the time we were supposed to start. I forgot how many minutes. Okay, number 6, how program success is measured and evaluated. Number 7, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via. Oh, we already did this. I already sent this to you. Okay, number 8. Oh, we did 9, 10. Okay, here 11. Let's see if we can do this. How the multimedia for visual and audio programming be accessible for people who have varying abilities and capacities. Number 12. Is everybody okay with this?
Could you read that?
We covered better.
I will read it again. How the multimedia push, what do we put there? How the
How to support multimedia visual and audio programming.
Okay, we're not going to put work on ourselves.
Transition to
multimedia for visual and audio programming. Is banding while and its accessibility for people who have how the transition to multimedia for visual and audio programming is accessible for people who have varying abilities and capacities and to the delight of the youth. I'm not going to put that. Let's see. How the transition to multimedia for visual and audio programming is expanding and it's
will be accessible. how
okay.
the transit. Are you asking them to
accessibility? Accessibility for people who have varying abilities and capacities. Let's see. How the transition to multimedia for visual and audio programming is expanding its accessibility for people who have varying abilities and capacities. Sheila, what you were going to say? Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm just listening. Sorry.
Okay. No. I mean, if you have a better way, I just want to get something out before I forget it. Okay. So we got our way to 11. Okay. This is
how about
point.
Is expanding and made... expanding to make more accessible Pacifica programming to people with varying abilities and capacities. How the transition to multimedia from visual and audio programming is expanding and being made more accessible. How about, and get rid of Pacifica programming to people with varying abilities.
Is expanding to make more accessibility?
Accessible with varying abilities.
Okay, two or four, which is it? Accessible for people, accessible to people, either way? Two is more direct?
Either way. Either four is Capital fine
two.
Also.
Yeah, I'll put two think. Since it's shorter. Accessible to people who have varying abilities and capacities. Okay, I'll read it one more time, then we'll go to 12. How the transition to multimedia for visual and audio programming is expanding to make more accessible to people, to make more accessible delivery? Like make more accessible to people who have varying abilities and capacities. That's understood. Okay. I'm okay with that. If anybody's not okay, tell me now. Can I go to 12? We've got 5 minutes left. How to the organize and nurture training, let's see, program with training videos and, okay, how the training is coming along. That's what we want to know, that we're going to be checking on that. How the training is being nurtured.